from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
And today we have a very, very special episode for episode number 69 because we're so mature. We've decided that we're going to do the show entirely about sex because it's episode 69.
And you know what? We thought it would be fun and enjoyable, but unfortunately, since this is a show about religion and religious people are crazy, everything regarding sex about them is typically about hating gay people, killing lesbians.
It's about as pleasant as a 69 with someone who doesn't wipe their asses properly. So that's the kind of show that you're preparing yourself to listen to. But we're going to keep it funny because fuck them. All right, here's a couple things we're going to talk about the show. First of all, we're going to talk about Bristol Palin's new abstinence campaign.
To be fair, it's not technically an abstinence campaign, right? But Bristol Palin and the Situation are in a commercial about sex education, so
right.
You know you're going to be getting some
good information. Yeah, absolutely. We're also going to be talking about a gay teen in Minnesota whose article was taken down because I guess that
it was too eloquently beautiful.
It was, so we're going to be talking about that. And also we're going to have a little bit of a sex reality versus religion where we'll be talking about all the fun stuff that you do to get yourself off and what religion thinks about that. But first up, I want to talk about a letter that I received from a fan. And because, you know, in the bonus show I said every time the bonus show starts, I'm going to take a letter from a fan that I thought was kind of interesting or cool, and I'm going to just talk about it during the show, because what is the bonus show for? The fans, and therefore you are kind of like stars. You are brought into our fan zone.
So send good letters.
Yeah, please, send good ones. Don't send crappy ones. I'm not going to read crappy ones. Put some thought into it. All right, here's the letter that I got. It begins, "I have a question about Canadian opinions about the royal family. So I understand that through some legal magic, all Canadians are subject of the crown, and that whenever the king or queen touches Canada, suddenly the flag and anthem changes to accommodate the doubly lucky sperm. I'm curious about the everyday Canadian, how they feel about the royal family. From what I see, England is going apeshit about it. Northern Ireland is going nuts. What do you Canadians think, and more importantly, what do you think about it?" Oh, isn't that nice? More importantly, what do I think? I'm more important than Canadians.
Well, people are freaking out because, what is it, the tall, non-Nazi one is marrying some chick, one of the princes.
Yeah, one of the,
Which goes, William, I believe his name
Prince
is.
Prince William, yeah, that sounds about right. here's the problem. My
Which
opinion,
goes to show you what we think and how much we know about or give a shit about.
Yeah, well, everybody knows that right now we've been putting a lot more work in doing a research portion of the show. But let me tell you one thing. When I read that, and I thought, oh, I should investigate what's going on. Because literally, at least in terms of where I live geographically in Canada, which is Quebec, which has rejected all things royal family. So if you want to get any information around here, it's hard. But other than a few loyalists that live in very segmented populations in Canada, generally speaking, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, absolutely no one gives a shit. We find it all rather amusing. There was actually an important political decision a couple years ago that technically we had to take to the Queen and ask her for permission to do something, and Canadians all found that quite hilarious.
Well, sometimes they find it hilarious, other times they're feeling kind of angry.
There's been talk about just getting rid of it all, but we've just decided that it's such nonsense and so inconsequential that we'll just keep it around because it's nice.
Yeah, it's like a tradition, and we don't like to shake things up. It's been this way for 150 years long.
We had to scrape pretty hard to find enough faces for the bills as it was. We were actually getting rid of bills because, I mean, how many times can you have Sir Wilfrid Laurier on a fucking bill? God damn it.
I think that eventually we'll all have these gigantic coins because Canada's decided that paper money is not where it's at. So get ready for your pants to need to have a really thick pockets.
I'm looking forward to going away from wallets back towards like
change persons?
Like coin? No, like remember back in the day, like in those fantasy movies where it's like, I want to hire you rangers for a mission. Here's a coin purse.
Pshing, oh yeah, like gold, a bag of coins.
Like a little bag of gold coins with a fucking drawstring around it, and you're like, ooh.
This is what you want. You want to walk around like as if you're carrying a bag of gold.
I dig it.
Yeah, and the bag of gold, this heavy fucking thing, is worth maybe like $15.
Now, yay. You'd be surprised how fast Toonies get up there, man.
That's true. The only problem I find with our money is it can be used as weapons. Like a sock full of Toonies will knock a motherfucker out, bro.
And you get enough coins. Let me say, $2 in pennies is a lot worse.
All right. Anyways, so yeah, that's basically the lowdown. Nobody really cares. I've always found, personally, the whole royal family thing is just generally annoying. Now, I know I have a lot of UK fans, and there are probably some people out there that say, oh, but we love them.
Nobody loves them.
No, some people do on the site, man. Trust me. Huh. There are people who listen that love the king and queen. And I guess for some people, it's just, you know, it's that tradition. It's just part of their cultural identity and the blah, 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 blah. I just find it's a gigantic waste of money. That's basically my problem with it. I'm like, oh, so your country is cutting millions of dollars from programs, but who's flipping the bill for this fucking marriage, huh? Who's gonna pay for that? I have a feeling you guys are, you know, the ones that are cutting the science programs. Yeah. How about less royal weddings, more fucking science? That's what I say.
I think royal family just has an image problem right now, and if they want to fix that, they should involve the Queen and her son, Prince Charles, in a horrible plane accident. Then everything will be awesome.
It's usually the way it goes.
I mean, imagine how much people would fall in love with having, like, Prince William is like the king all of a sudden. It'd be fucking crazy. You'd have a new king and queen, the new faces on the coins.
I don't want that
people
guy on my coin.
People are sick and tired of Elizabeth, man. She is clinging, and she doesn't. She looks strong as a fucking ox.
Well, her
she
fucking must, mom lived to what, 100 and something? That pickled old fucking bag of bones? Yeah, like, god damn it, like, tough genes despite all that inbreeding. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, let's talk about the first subject. Let's get to the meat of the situation. And speaking of situation, I think some of you out there may not be aware, if you're not American, of who exactly the situation is. This is a clown who has a show called Jersey Shore. Well, it's not really his show. It's a reality show about Jersey douchebags and their tanning routines, as well as their disgusting club get-ups.
Club fornication. Would be an accurate...
Yeah, it's a show where you know that everybody on it has herpes. Let's just say that. There's no question in your mind who has herpes. So it strikes me as a little odd that, say, TV's The Situation and Bristol Palin have decided that they're going to talk to teens about safe sex. Two of the probably unsafest fucking human beings in modern pop culture are going to lay it on you. And do they lay it on? How many times do they say the fucking word situation commercial?
It was a terrible ad. And that's my main complaint about it, is that it doesn't really say much about anything because the message is so muddled. The organization, I dig the organization. I went to the website thinking I was going to hate them, but I actually kind of like them because their whole attitude is they're not talking about how they want you to not have babies. They're just their whole message that they ram home to kids is having a kid will fuck your life up, so watch out. It's like to terrify them. One of their print ads basically had like a baby bottle and it said, you think school sucks? Pregnancies are terrible, which is really cool because honestly, let's face it, we're kind of glorifying teenage pregnancy right now. Just a little.
What do you mean we're glorifying it?
Because
of Bristol Palin?
More than just Bristol Palin, man. Well, look, that Teen Mom fucking show on MTV, have you seen that?
No, Teen Mom? What?
Yeah.
Teen Mom.
Yeah.
What does she do in the show?
It's several teen moms, and they all work really hard and try to be uplifting, and everybody supports them for being so strong, and they get so much attention paid to them.
And, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who doesn't want to do that? Hey, I want attention. Yay! I love attention.
So, yeah, the Candy's Foundation just wants to remind everybody that teenage pregnancy is bad. But the ad doesn't really fucking say anything because, number one, you can't pretend like the situation
practices any kind of safe sex.
Well, The best you can do is just have him endorse condoms. And with Bristol Palin, who you know is basically being shoved onto the abstinence bandwagon, and who knows what the fuck she really thinks, but that's the wagon that she's on. What can she fucking say?
I'm going to wait. She says, I'm going to wait, to which I respond, for what? Your fucking virginity is gone. You had a kid. Are you telling me now you're waiting again? Did she go back to that whatever hockey-playing douchebag? Are they back together or something?
I'm not 100% sure if they're back or not, but they got back together after she had gotten on the abstinence thing. And you know, looking at that guy, Levi, I think his name is?
Who gives a shit what his name is?
Hey, he's a mayoral candidate in Alaska, man.
Oh, yeah, on his own reality show. This is how you know that whatever it is that you're trying to create public awareness for, if you decide that I'm going to make a reality show out of this, anytime you make anything a reality show, it's just fucking, it's over. It's just already ruined. You might as well just give up.
Nothing good ever comes out of reality shows. For God's sakes, Hulk Hogan had one, and it destroyed his life.
Yeah.
It literally destroyed it. That jolly man.
Like he was happy at the beginning of the show.
Everyone was happy, man. Now his wife left him for his sister's friend, and his son is in jail. It's fucked up.
That is really fucked up. Here's my problem with the group. And my problem with the way that they try to sell this whole abstinence shit is that no one practices abstinence, okay? No one. There might be people who think they do or tell you that they do. These are the same people that are usually engaged in highly risky sexual activity, like anal sex and oral sex without any protection, because they figure, oh, well, this is not, this is not sex.
Here's... When the situation, I'm going to have to role play this out a little bit, and I apologize for being terrible.
Here we go.
When the situation pulls out the condoms and is like, this is what I use, and then Bristol Palin says, I just don't get myself into those situations. Once again, another situation joke.
Yeah.
But
she does.
This is literally the message. Hey, you have condoms, or in the girl's case... Don't worry about it, because you're never going to be in a situation
where you
need it.
Nothing's going to... Your raging hormones will not suddenly take over once you've done nothing to prepare yourself for the possibility of you having something that you desire infinitely. Like, let's think about how much human beings want sex. Huh? I want every listener out there to see how long they can hold out. Just don't even masturbate anymore. Don't have sex. Let's see how long you go crazy. It's not going to take very long. But her, I don't get in these situations, which is the same thing that they always tell the abstinence people is, just avoid that. Just avoid it.
Once again, I see proof to the contrary. How old is it now? That proof?
I don't even know how old it is, but it doesn't... I mean, even if they would have picked someone who was a poster child for abstinence, I can't even think of anybody who is. But
How about Justin Bieber? And that's a total lie. You don't tell me fucking Bieber isn't eating a poontang like a monster.
It's just being thrown at him.
He's probably got John Bon Jovi in the 80s levels of pussy being like fucking thrown around.
Yeah, you cannot.
It would be even more if lots of people just didn't think it would be wrong to fuck a kid.
Yeah, just wait until he's a bit older where now it just doesn't even matter. He's legal all around. Let's fuck him. What I was trying to say is, regardless of who you're using as a fucking spokesperson, there's no one that can live up to that standard because it's not a realistic one. Human beings are crafted by the laws of nature to want to fuck, all right? This is just a really basic need that you have. Let's procreate. It's hardwired in you. There was an article on the Religion Virus talking about the comparing the rates of the United States and Netherlands in terms of pregnancy rates, STD rates, and all that other kind of stuff. And the article was arguing, listen, the major difference between the Netherlands and the United States is how they approach sex education, how parents approach the issue with their kids. They realize that these kids are going to have sex. Now, the only thing that they can do is act realistically of saying, okay, it's fine if you do, but, you know, here are the conditions under which you're able to do it, and then that's it. You had the really adult conversation that obviously no parent wants to fucking deal with, you know, namely that their child enters the world of sex, which is a terrifying prospect for any fucking parent, I am sure. When your little baby is now about to get rammed by Big Steve.
Well,
yeah.
Most parents manage to cut it out and just have it at that point where they say, just don't get pregnant. That's what my parents were. It's like, don't.
get.
Yeah, and that really worked on you, huh? Mr. fucking careless. I mean, let's talk about let's talk about carelessness a little bit, all right? Cause for the show, because this is good.
I don't think there's the problem with this story is that there's no purpose to it, so it just makes me look bad.
You were a dumb it's kid. Like it's a perfect example, though. I mean, you wouldn't do that shit if you were.
Wouldn't I?
I would hope not, because this genius here decided that the best form of birth control that he could come up with was what, Ryan?
Hmm?
What was your birth control method?
It wasn't even pulling out. It was not coming.
That sounds really satisfactory, actually.
Hmm. You know what? It was surprisingly okay, because, anyways, it's hard to explain. But it wasn't bad.
It wasn't a good idea.
When I was 16, it was fucking wicked.
I'm surprised you don't have anything, you big ass risk taker.
Oh, I know. It was like 2.5 years of doing that.
But I'm curious. Did you not get sex education? Did you just hate the idea of condoms? What's the deal?
If I was wearing a condom, we'd be having sex, and it was basically something having to do with just condoms were, the girlfriend wouldn't allow condoms. She was irrationally against condoms in the mix because she was worried if I came, then she would get pregnant. I know it's very ironic and strange.
Well, it's the kind of thing that stupid kids come up with. That's not surprising. It's like, hey, what happens if you come in the condom and the condom has a leak? Yeah, that's really not how the whole thing works. But check this out. Here's some interesting statistics. When you look at the pregnancies per 100,000, the United States 72.2, Netherlands 11.8. Syphilis cases per 100,000, United States 2.7, Netherlands 1.
Yeah, but you can't compare statistics between Netherlands, this tiny little gnat of a fucking country
in
Europe.
But the size doesn't matter, you idiot.
One of the biggest.
The size doesn't matter in these kinds of things, you fool. It's not about size. It's just about statistical averages.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still talking about comparing these ridiculously different countries is stupid.
All right, let's talk about the ways that they are different then, okay?
Sure.
You could argue that they have a different culture, right? But they don't have a significantly different religion.
America has a shitload more poor, uneducated people.
Okay, well, that's more of a problem of
it's still reality.
A systemic problem, but I think you've identified what the issue is. What is the issue? Well, people in America are less educated and poorer and dumber. And they have the added problem of having really confusing and shitty sex advice. Really shitty. All right, when the situation in Bristol Palin are your spokespersons, you're in trouble. You're in fucking trouble. There is no message that is clear in that entire thing. So you had someone who engaged in premarital sex and had a kid saying that abstinence is good. You have a man who's clearly had risky sex his whole fucking life telling you to use condoms. Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't fucking buy it for a second. All right, let's fucking move on. The next subject we're going to be talking about is an article that was written by a teen at Benil Day, I don't know if I pronounced that right, St. Margaret's in Louisville Park, Minnesota. And what he did was he wrote an editorial talking about gay teen suicides, particularly his own personal story about how he wanted to, like he could identify with them because he's often had some of those feelings. And what I got from the article, and this was, it's a really quite beautiful article, like check out the notes and I'll also put a link on the site itself. Read it because you know what? There's two things that you'll notice. Number one, it's really well written. And number two, it is heartfelt and touching. And those are two really important things that seem to not have mattered to his school administrators who took it down. Now, the reason the article went up is because the Minnesota's Catholic bishops had released a DVD a couple weeks back before the November 2nd election, basically saying how wrong gay marriage was and how it was just going to shake everything up.
And how politically you had to fucking fight it.
Yep, you had to fight this. So this is why he writes the article. It's taken down. The administrators are saying, oh, it's creating too much conflict. And the teen was arguing that all it does, and I agree here, is it seems to send a message that it really is okay to silence,
positive gay messages.
Exactly. One of the things that really struck me into the article itself was the way that he called on everybody else, us, the breeders, the straight people. It's like, it is your duty to try to help, to end the hatred, to end the bigotry, because you are the majority. You know, that you can't expect gays and lesbians to be alone in their fucking fight for equality. That has to come from you and me. And, you know, to some degree, I fucking hope that, you know, this show, that people who listen to the show that are gay feel at least that they, you know, that we have their back to some degree. I mean, that's the smallest thing I can fucking do.
I'd march. If something happened that we were able to march about, I'd march for them.
There you go. So, I think when we're talking about the types of activities, the types of protests that we should be involved with as straight people, firstly, I don't think it has to be marching. I think the most important thing, and I remember I did this where I used to work, was there was a guy who was always using homophobic slurs to describe things that were stupid or awkward or whatever. And I told him, I said, you know, I'd really appreciate you not doing it. He didn't realize he was doing it. It's more of one of those macho fucking bullshit things.
Oh, I mean, up until about a year ago, I used to say gay all the time. It's like, this is gay, that's gay, fucking gay crap.
You really don't even think about the consequences and how that affects people that are when they, you know, when they hear that shit. And that's what I tried to tell him. I said, listen, not only does it disrespect anybody around that might be gay, but for me personally, what it makes me think about is all those people that I do care about that are fucking gay and have to deal with the shit that you're saying. And I was actually quite glad because at the end of it, he didn't talk like that at all. Now, it was just at work. Odds are maybe he went back home and he fucking used it. I can't police the world. And besides, when I went over to him, I didn't force him to not use it. I was plain spoken and told him, I said, I think not only is that it, that's ignorant, but I don't think you want to be ignorant in even that way. I don't even think you realize what you're saying. And I think that's the thing we're not doing, you know, often enough. When our friends say something that makes us feel uncomfortable and we don't say shit because we're, you know, we don't want to look stupid or we don't want to feel, you know, like the only voice in the crowd saying that. But you have to do that. You have to be the person who speaks out because nobody else is fucking doing it, all right? If they were, then you wouldn't have this fucking bullshit problem of don't ask, don't tell, gay marriage issues, and adoption issues in the United States, which can't seem to be resolved. Your economy is fucking falling apart, and the only thing that seems important to you is determining who has the right to marry who. This is what's most important to you. Congratulations. You must feel pretty goddamn happy about yourselves. So, yeah, guys, all you listeners who are breeders, I love that term, by the way, breeders. Do you love it? You have to do something. It can be small, but all those things add up. They're significant. We have work to do. We've got our fucking parents' generation who just are crazy bigots and they don't want to die.
And we've got religion trying to justify this bigotry.
Yeah, and claiming that they're the ones that are being discriminated against. Like there was an Italian cardinal who accused gays of discriminating against Catholics. He's like, oh, well, if you don't accept homophilia, which is not a word, then you're automatically condemned as a homophobe. Yeah. If you do not accept the fact that homosexuality is a fact of nature, and then you are saying that it's some kind of fucking choice, then yes, you are a homophobe. When people tell you that you're a homophobe, they're not trying to discriminate against you. They're trying to make you aware of something that you're doing, you bigoted piece of shit. It's what you are. That's what they're calling you out on. I know that it hurts. It's like, oh, my feelings. Oh, I'm not allowed to discriminate against them. What's that about? Brr. What the fuck, man? You know what? I was going to write an article about it. I was going to say, Catholic bishop should shut his fucking mouth. But I decided that I needed to calm down a little. But I'm still fuming about it. The fact that he would say it is fucking insane.
Anyways. It's going to take some work. I know I was sad when I realized I had to retire saying gay.
Yeah.
Because it's a useful, flexible word. And my favorite when you could go, gay. That was fun.
It was just cheap. You know what? I'm glad that it's gone because it was just cheap laughs, man. You ever watch like old 80s and early 90s comedy? It's the worst. It's just they'll use...
What, like reruns of Home Improvement and stuff?
No. I'm talking stand-up comics. Oh, and stuff boy. Like that. A variety of stand-up comics. And you listen to it, and it's just awful, because they'll just do the worst gay jokes ever. Like fake gay voices that of saying nothing of particular interest, or just, you know, making some kind of random joke about a guy trying to ram him in the ass or something like that. And you're just like, wow. I used to laugh at that. Man, times do change, and you got to change with those times.
One more thing before we move on, though. A really good comedic summary of you know, usage of language like this would be Louis C.K.'s faggot scene in his last TV show. I think if you typed in Louis C.K. faggot, you can find it on YouTube, and it's really good.
Really?
It really is.
All right, we'll put a link up for that one in the notes. Remember, guys, all the shows come with embedded notes in the lyrics. So if you're listening right now, you want to see what we're going to be talking about even during the show, if you want to skip ahead and know what the fuck we're about to talk about, well, you can see in the future, bitch.
We haven't put any time codes into it yet or anything like that.
No,
that
would be like... Yeah, okay. Well, all right, we're not that specific, but Jesus Christ, man, we're just two dudes. Give us a break. This is a new feature anyways. I think we're still working out the kinks, eh? Okay, let's talk about our last subject, which is hopefully the funnier one. It's sex, reality versus religion. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about every single thing, every forbidden act.
Well, we can't say that it's everyone, because truth be told, a lot of them are very general and they capture most of it. So it's not like we get to go through like the rusty trombone and all that.
All right, maybe the really basic ones, not the Cleveland Steamers or the fucking Dirty Sanchez's of the world. We're not going to be talking about those, but they're variations on these. They're just really the specifics. Mm-hmm. All right, these are kind of like the categories, and within those categories, you can have different subcategories.
Exactly, because it's like, you know, naughtiness. Like, general naughtiness, just in general, is forbidden. It's like, you can't have too much fun, otherwise it's just not allowed.
Okay, here's how we're going to start. We're going to go from the least hardcore to what we feel is the most hardcore. How about that? All right, so let's talk about watching pornography. Here's a good start of one. I put up a post a couple days ago about an internet nanny service that basically abandons any, that blocks anything that's really interesting. They're called Total Net Guard. They're like this Christian ISP service. But, you know, even if you have an ISP, you can pay them $10 a month. And what they'll do is they will filter traffic so you can't see those pages. That's what they're going to do. They will charge you so that you can't see pages, which I fucking love. So yeah, let's start with watching pornography. So I have a little quote, because there's a lot of there's no specific part of the Bible that I can find that deals with pornography per se.
Anything about men keeping their eyes on their thoughts on lustful things.
Well, right, that's
and
exactly.
And that was in one of the good like the big ones. It wasn't like, you know, something in the Old Testament. I think it was like
no, the
John's.
New Testament. I have Matt. Matthew 5:28-29, and this is Jesus talking. He says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than the whole body to be thrown into hell." So pornography basically falls under the purview of that one passage. Like this pretty much summarizes it, that any lustful thoughts are already that's a sin.
And it's not just watching pornography. That is just like we've taken it to its nth. It starts all the way with, you know, Jane in accounting, taking a look at her and saying,
When she bends down to put sort of that file back
shit,
in the filing cabinet.
She doesn't even have to bend down. I just kind of like see a little bit of the neck. It's like, yeah.
Or she wears like really tight skirts, but you can see the panty line. Yeah.
That's pretty good, too.
If you see the panty line, it's like kind of like one of those, if you can read this sign, you're driving too close. That's it, man. You see the panty lines? Boom! You better gouge that fucking eye out right now, man.
Because you were staring too hard, motherfucker.
So in terms of pornography, even just staring at a butt can fall into the purview of pornography. So that's probably the
wonder if there's like a lustiness scale. Like if you're just kind of like, you know, general lustiness. You see a nice butt and you're like, nice butt. Or if you like really start to think about it, if it gets more sinful.
I think it's more, because the rules apply depending on how far a person wants to take it. And that's it. I mean, when we talk about religion, religions are privately held belief. People pick and choose the parts that make sense to them. So you're going to have people that take really strict interpretations, and there's others that will just sort of, you know, scoff it away and say, it's not really that big of a deal and I'm still faithful, so watching porn or staring at beautiful women is not really, you know, I wouldn't consider that a particular sin.
Because, you know, like textually, from what you read, you know, Jesus did say, don't do this or I'll throw you into hell, which is, you know, in the same sentence. It wasn't really, it's not disconnected like a lot of other Jesuses don't do this.
This is not a parable.
No. There's no happy story here.
Explaining that away is a little bit hard. Yeah. It's a little bit hard. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So after watching pornography, I would say that probably... Actually, before... there is one thing...
Masturbation would be next.
Yeah, masturbation is probably the one thing that almost everybody does. And I'm talking about people that are probably missing limbs, that rub themselves on, you know, couches and beds, whatever. You don't need to even have a hand to masturbate.
I wonder what congenital amputees use.
I don't know. I'm sure they have... equipment, man, there must be like a whole market.
Well, there are
for,
like,
you know, disabled people's sex toys.
Well, what do you think of, you know, because this all falls into the purview of our masturbation sex talk. Have you seen those fleshlight things?
Yeah, I've seen fleshlights.
Mm-hmm.
They are they're microwave, not microwave. They are dishwasher friendly, apparently, because people want to wash their jizz cups in the fucking dishwasher
with the rest of their shit.
Oh,
that they eat off
humanity!
Of.
Humanity! You know, it was really funny. I was actually when we were talking about looking at all the, you know, is masturbation a sin? I went to this one website. I have a link for it in the notes. Trying to determine how, you know, whether or not it is considered a sin according to, you know, strict interpretation of scripture. And this fairly Christian site was like, no, not really. And the one passage that's usually used to justify the fact that you shouldn't masturbate is actually, again, this favorite story of the Bible of mine, which is the story of Onan. Because Onanism means to masturbate. Although I think we all agree that the story of Onan has nothing to do with masturbation. This is a dude who was told by God to fuck his dead brother's wife and then basically jizzes on the ground and God strikes him dead. From that passage, there's lots of killjoys that have said that this is a talking against masturbation. That by doing that, God will strike you down.
I'm pretty sure God was more angry with the direct disobeyal of exactly what he told the dude to do, which was impregnate his brother's wife.
Well, that would be the obvious one. But, you know, the great thing about interpreting the Bible is that you can take passages that are otherwise fairly obvious and just twist them in whatever fucking way that you want. One thing that was also quite funny was the Christian site was trying to kind of ascertain why masturbation would be allowed. You know, because they try to be fair about it. They're like, well, God designed me, so what's the deal? Okay, here's what they wrote about that. That God allows masturbation to even work is a mystery. Ever try tickling yourself? And so it's reasonable to assume it is a gift to keep ourselves from temptation. So this side views masturbation as a way of dealing with temptation, even though I would argue that the very sentence they put on top saying that, you know, if you look at a woman, you've already committed adultery and lusted for her. How the fuck are you supposed to masturbate without lusting? Are you going to masturbate about your wife?
Your future wife with no face? I've heard about that. You know, there's a lot of chicks who masturbate to the faceless man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with that. It's just that for most women, at least as far as I understand it, it is not so much a guy that they fantasize about, but rather general maleness. So kind of like a big sweaty man on top of them is enough. That he has a face is like secondary. It's just a lot of work to try to fantasize about a face when... Really, who cares? We're just all about the faces because, you know, we just love pretty faces.
We love variety. I think men are drawn to that whole idea of, like, you think about that because you got to put them down on the list, the conquered list.
I love how these guys think that apparently how masturbation works is some kind of goddamn mystery. Yes, when I rub my cock really fast... Something comes out of it. Oh, my gosh, magic. How did that happen? I tried tickling myself, but it didn't work. But masturbation? Yes, sir. That does work. Because apparently jerking off is like tickling yourself. I don't even understand. Maybe he's not doing it right.
These people are obviously confused.
So masturbation, that is also a no-no. But you can work around it. Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is hand jobs. So this is like masturbation, but somebody else is doing it for you. Which typically
similar.
Means that it sucks more, all right? Because I don't think I've ever had a hand job that was better than what I could do. Yeah? No? Maybe my first one. My first hand job was fucking blew my mind. That's all I remember. I'm like, awesome. Does it get better?
There are good hand jobs.
They exist out there.
Oh, yeah. It's like, especially if, like, oils are involved. And not just, like, a little, it's in, like, that little fucking, you know, bottle of scented oil. It's like, I'm talking, like...
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
One of those...
Crisco bottle?
No. One of those big lubricant, big blue ones that almost looks like a fucking shower, like shampoo.
Shampoo bottle?
Like a shampoo bottle. And you just fucking squeeze it all down, and then it's like everything's sliding, and it's insanity, man.
Yeah, only because you've been watching way too many oily asses, like, when I'm 7 through 20.
Whatever.
You like the oily shit.
I'm just saying that oil makes hand jobs happen. If you're not doing it with oil, you are missing a key ingredient. Well, I mean, not even oil, just lubricant. Lubricant. And spit is not enough.
It's a start.
It's a start, but it's kind of like how... you ever tried to bang in the pool?
No, actually. That's on my list. What should I keep in mind?
The fact that even though it's very wet in the pool...
It can get dry up in there.
No, it's just that water is not a good lubricant. It's so fucking dry. It takes away all your lubricant. And spit almost works the same fucking way. It's like you're lubed for like 10 seconds, and then you're really dry.
Well.
Yeah.
Just
as far as hand jobs go, anyways. I'm sharing a lot of personal hand job
technique
on this show.
I think that everybody appreciates that.
Well.
You know, definitely. And for you poor suckers out there that just can't seem to get laid... back to the whole masturbation thing. Ryan strongly recommends that big shampoo bottle lubricant.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is getting a happy ending from a massage place considered a sexual sin? Like, I'm talking about, like, one of those, like, authentic Asian ones where it could be, like, a 90-year-old grandma fucking doing it. She's just emptying your chi, you know, or your ki or whatever.
Yeah, well, the reason it's a sin is because chi is a witchcraft, and you're going to hell.
Fair enough.
Happy endings from a 90-year-old. I think you should just go to hell
for just thinking that's appropriate. I know, but I'm just saying that it goes to point out how non-sexual it is. Like that, because that's a thing about, you know, Asian massages, and that's how it became one of the big things in that, because it's a non... Anyway.
You know what? I had a Chinese massage with no happy ending. And let me tell you something. There was no way after that fucking massage anyone could have massaged my dick. Because the only thing I felt was a burning pain. I wanted to go home, man. My back was on fire. Did you ever get like a really authentic one where they work on your, like, you know, the fat area? You know when you cut a piece of meat and there's fat right beside the muscle?
Yeah.
They fucking work that shit out. So what they're doing is they're basically taking, like, their fucking elbows and shit like that, and they're digging it into you so deep you feel it in your chest.
The only massage I ever got was a weird Slavic massage. And that's not true. We got that one at that Christmas party as well. That was pretty decent. Just like a standard pampering North American one. But
I wasn't at that Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
Don't remember that one year I had to answer all the phones for an entire company while everybody else was enjoying themselves at the Christmas party? That was a fucking fun time. That was a good Christmas.
It was great.
You fucking piece of shit. Didn't you get totally drunk and that older chick started hitting on you?
Yes.
Man, you totally didn't capitalize.
Shame on you.
That's
the story of my life.
Fuck.
I know.
You don't let that happen.
I think I've actually completely, not passed the sin, oh, I'll pass, but passed the sin, do more sex than I've had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you've had a decent amount, so wow, congratulations on being... an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, hand jobs, unfortunately, they fall into the same category, so that is also frowned upon. No hand jobs.
What about if you're married? Can you give your partner a hand job? I think you are allowed to do that, right?
Yeah. You know what? It's funny, too, because you go to... There's a lot of Christian, Mormon, and even Jewish sites that talk about the things that you're allowed and not allowed to do in marriage. And, of course, because this is Christianity... or religion in general, everybody has plenty of different interpretations. Now, you can read Songs of Solomon part of the Bible and then realize there's some sexy shit going on in there. Women talking about how to get fucked in the ass, you know, like basically face to the ground, fucking legs up, bitch. This is in the Bible, all right? I'm not making this up about women having to treasure their valleys. That's the area between their anus and their vagina.
Yeah, there's another one that's like, do me from behind, big boy.
Yeah. pretty much. And there's sections talking about the gigantic donkey penises of Egyptians and their fucking emissions of horses, or maybe it's the reverse. I'm not quite sure. Either way, lots of emissions, gigantic dongs. The fucking Bible is full of really graphic sex shit. The stuff that you don't get in your Sunday school version. Of course, the Bible is a very long book and quite boring, so until you get to those parts, you might not even believe that they could possibly be there. But anytime you read the word issue in the Bible, that's not because they had a problem, okay? There was no situation here. The issue is semen. That's what that is. That's the polite way back then of saying jizz.
You know, you want to move on to oral sex.
Oh, I do.
Because you, remember you were saying that different websites have different conversations about what is okay and not okay between you and your husband?
Right.
Oral sex is one of those ones. And I got a little quote here from one of the websites telling people to consider these questions when answering the question, is oral sex a sin? Is oral sex voluntary and have both the husband and wife agreed to it?
Voluntary?
I know.
I'm going to strap you down and fucking suck your dick.
Why do you want oral sex? Is it for pure sexual pleasure? Or is it to fulfill a sexual fantasy derived from porn?
Oh, man.
Because I guess where that's kind of...
That distinction is often impossible to make in my world.
Yeah, it seems pretty weird. It's like, did you get this idea from pornography or just from...
Oh, because you're supposed to get it from where exactly? Not from porn. You're supposed to... I guess you can read the Bible and it'll tell you all the things you can do.
Have you or your spouse been convicted by the... being convicted by the Holy Spirit that oral sex is wrong? So I guess that's like... Did you talk to Jesus and Jesus tell you no?
Yeah. Did the voice in your head say yes or no? That's basically the fucking question.
Is it dirty to you?
And you know what? Odds are if it is, you probably want to do it more.
I like this. Does oral sex edify and fulfill both you and your spouse? Which basically means, are you making your wife do it and she hates to do it?
Yeah, that's fair. There are lots of women who, by the way, I never want to meet, that don't enjoy giving oral sex. To those women, I say, don't procreate.
That's harsh.
Yeah, just don't, though.
But fair.
They can still be productive members of society. I just don't want your anti-oral sex gene to be passed on. Really, honestly, we just need more.
Well, from what we read in the news today, it's not.
It's not a problem.
It's like kids nowadays are like, I just don't ram it in my butt. I don't care about anything else. It's like that's the new. See, before oral sex used to be what they would deny, but now it's like anal is the new, like where the line is drawn. It's being pushed back.
And of course,
sexual act.
And of course, anal is on the rise. Why? Because it's been pushed back to, you know, forbidden territory.
Well, do you want to talk about anal sex as the next forbidden thing?
Okay, yeah, let's talk about anal sex, because I just want to say this before, you know, we talk about how sinful it is. I'm sick and tired of all the porn online being anal sex.
I agree. It's gone overboard.
I just, you know what? I'm not a huge fan to begin with. And I'm especially not a fan of ass to mouth.
Well, here's what I dig about anal sex, because it gives you all the in and out of vaginal sex while still getting to see the vag like pwah there. So it kind of gives you the 1-2. But I agree, just as far as it's not as enjoyable to watch as vaginal sex.
It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
There's too many fucking movies where the girls are obviously just. It's not a good time.
It's interesting to note that the increase in anal sex has partially to do with how bad sex education really is in the U.S. Because, obviously, the first question of why would anal sex be more popular than vaginal sex is, well, when you create a campaign making people afraid of being pregnant, but they still want to fuck... Well, guess what? You got two holes, all right? There's two more holes that can be exploited, and those don't involve any kind of risk of pregnancy. Of course, they also involve a high risk of sexually transmitted diseases, particularly because anal sex kind of causes a lot of tearing and shit. So, yeah, that's actually the more... Anal sex is riskier in terms of sexual activity than vaginal sex. And that's another reason why you notice that the STD rates are so different in the U.S. It's partially due to anal sex and its popularity. Sorry, everybody. Hate to be a downer on the old bumhole. I'm sure we have plenty of people that are nothing but the biggest fan of that area. But I'm just saying I'm inundated. I've got enough. I have had enough of anal sex. Sick and tired of it.
Okay, what's next on the big list?
Okay, I guess I guess obviously there's birth control in general, because for me that fits into even more hardcore than anal sex or oral sex, is if you start practicing safe sex. Because as soon as you do, it's the admonition that something is happening. And people talking about sex in the U.S. is the huge issue. All right, which ties into not only birth control but also abortion, which all fucking...
Yeah, yeah, I kind of wanted to one-two those, because the most ridiculous thing about the situation is that the people who are the most against abortion are also the ones that are against birth control.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, that if the United States had the same rates in terms of teen pregnancy as the Netherlands, there would be 100... Shut up your fucking mouth. There would be 130,000 fewer cases of abortions. That's how you stop abortion, people. Sex education. Be the Netherlands, in other words. And then you will avoid all of these things that you find so abhorrent. But guess what? You cause the very problem that you purport to fix. You cause it. You're a huge cause of all these pregnancies that eventually get aborted. So congratulations. Just want to put that out there to the abstinence/pro-life movement. You've done it. You have done it.
Gay sex. Gay sex, also totally not allowed.
That is probably, I guess, the highest one of all of them, is really gay sex. Yep. This is the thing that Christians have a huge problem with.
I saw something really fucked up on the internet today, and it was a gay blogger congratulating the Mormon Church for changing their stance, or softening their stance from, you know, gay people are
evil
and everything like that, to gay people can live in our church so long as they don't have gay sex, and they just bear that cross. And he was like, good on you, like, I'd like to say thanks to these guys for moving forward. And I'm like, what? What?
Moving forward at a snail's pace and still creating an environment where you shame other human beings because of their birth, of their very nature. You're like, oh, that thing that you like makes you evil and wicked.
It's like, don't worry about being gay. Just don't be gay. Don't have gay sex.
Just don't do any of it. Don't engage in that lifestyle choice, son. Just don't do it. Yeah. Ultimate abstinence. So never enjoy sex. Never be in a loving relationship with someone else. Don't do that. So bear the hard cross that God has apparently bestowed on you, because you're one of his special children. He wants you to suffer more because he's all about you. That shit.
Loves you.
The more you suffer, the closer you get to Jesus' really horrible weekend, and that gives you sort of like some kind of special bond, I guess. A bad weekend equals an entire life worth of misery. Yay!
Are we through our list of things you're not allowed to do? All the sexy things?
I guess we went from the mildest to the most hardcore, so I think that pretty much covers it. Unless you can think of... Maybe, I think there was probably one more that's on there that we haven't yet encountered.
What's that?
That's even worse than gay sex, is the alien sex. And then once aliens come down and make contact with us, and we try to fuck them... That's going to be a big deal.
You know what's an unfortunate thing that's not on that list?
What's that?
Having sex with children.
Yeah, you notice it's kind of a weird thing, eh? Where's all that condemnation about it? They seem to be pretty bothered with gay sex, but yeah, pedophiles, not so much, not so much. Hey, it's a natural priestly urge to want to absolutely molest the young. It's fantastic. It feels great. You wouldn't even realize how good it felt. You feel closer to God. Yeah. Real good. Okay, you know what? I think that sums up the show. I'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member, and anybody who's listening who isn't and asked for the show. This is still a thing that we offer. So anytime a person is like, I need to absolutely hear the show, which I'm sure it's going to happen a little bit, because it's episode 69 and we're talking about sex, and you know how sex episodes are.
Yeah, a lot more people got to hear about my hand jobs and stuff.
The more people that hear about all your crazy sexual fetishes, the better.
Yeah.
The better. Okay, well, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.